that after all. I mean, depending on how you feel about all this stuff, I suppose if you wanted Michael Rouse to die and you believe in submarine base closures, these are basically probably good, and then it's not such a bad day. But it does seem a little bleak somehow.
Yeah. This, is this final?
The sub base?
Yeah. Well,
the Michael Rouse thing is definitely
dying.
Yeah. I'd say there's no going back on that one.
Thank you.
There's obviously no, absolutely not. Although, my understanding anyway would be that somewhere around 80 to 85% of these BRAC commission recommendations. Well, first of all, this is DOD recommending to BRAC, I think. Then BRAC makes a final determination, I think it's September 8th. And then I think Congress has to agree to accept or not accept the BRAC, but I mean, don't look for too many favors there. I don't think... Well, first of all, we should say that we will have Congressman Simmons and Larson on today, and I'm sure they can give you more reliable information than I'm giving to you right now. But these are recommendations. The recommendations that came from the Department of Defense. I think they might have come from that girl with Jack Bauer's date on 24. I think she's involved in this somehow. What he sees in her, I couldn't tell you anyway. She looks like a pile of coat hangers. But,
Leftovers, the other one, too, the third.
Yeah, I mean, I went through the state-by-state list, not with, as Mayor DeLucchi used to say, a fine-tooth and a comb, but I did just a quick run through the PDF file of it. It looks like Connecticut and Maine got kicked really hard. I don't know if anybody took it worse. I mean, a lot of places have kind of net gains and losses that are fewer than ours. I think maybe Connecticut might have the worst net loss here, at least if you do in terms of bodies. I think you might be the worst.
Maine, the Naval Shipyard in Portsmouth.
Yeah.
But they kept the Naval Air Station in Brunswick.
Right. Well, I can tell you, the Olympia Snow is wicked mad.
Finance and Accounting Service, that's probably the site of the old Loring Air Force Base.
Huh. Well. You fought alongside a lot of those guys. And so it must weigh heavily on you, but...
What? Boring Air Force Base?
Yeah.
Well, why at once?
There's a few F-11s out of there. Come on.
F-11?
I'm making things up here at this point.
Yeah. I saw a crop duster out of there. That'd be about it. I don't know. Can't take any credit for anything.
I don't know. It's been very interesting to actually listen, as it always is, I might add, to listen to the Roy and Debbie show over the last couple of days. But, because like 2 days ago, I think it was, maybe Wednesday, Roy had, they were talking to some weasel who I think might have been from DOD or from BRAC or something like that. It was never quite clear to me who this person was, but he was slick. And anyway, he kept saying, and one of the things he said was that President Bush had insisted on not making this political at all. And that everything was on the table, nothing was going to be pulled off the table because he didn't want it to be a political process. And Roy was saying that was great. Now, today, somebody called up and said, well, this is what happens when you're a blue state. And let's face it, it's political. And Roy said, of course it's political. And I thought, well, is it political or isn't it? I can't decide. Depending on the Roy and Debbie show, Roy likes to,
everybody has.
I'm sure there's someone that is those two positions to be reconciled, but... And I don't know whether it's political or not, either, although I have to admit that the Congressman Simmons is on, and very soon on this show, and in the nicest way possible, I'd like to ask him what happened. Because he basically ran his campaign based on the idea that he was the guy who could keep the subway, subbase. Maybe he said subway.
Just a subway.
Yeah, maybe he said subway, and I just thought he was saying subbase. That's probably it. It's a big misunderstanding on my part. I probably misheard him. We'll see more about that. And then, just to give you sort of a sense of the show, we have both attorneys going on about the sub-bases. Charlie Stinlin, one of the witnesses last night at the execution, will also be on with us to talk a little bit about that as well. I told you, Charlie, come on.
Yeah, well,
she's fond. She's fond of our show.
She's fond of you.
She's
fond of you.
Actually, this is the sub-base closing. They did everybody voice of the show at DEF CON 3 today.
Really?
Yeah, they went up to DEF CON 3.
Or Dyer
Dyer.
Yeah, I like your idea, too, that we could adopt a submarine.
It's like the Greyhound.
Yeah.
It's better the Greyhound. We'll
adopt
the submarine.
Adopt a submarine. Right,
Lake
County.
Yeah.
Great idea.
Might have to dredge the lake a little bit first.
We're getting more lip from Trump on that one.
Well, I think Trump has the equipment to dredge the...
Well, they probably do.
They probably have their own subs.
Widen it out a little bit.
Yeah. They may have their own subs, so they're in the Farmington River right nearby right now. We wouldn't even know anything about
that. That's exactly right.
Our private Trump attack subs.
Which one of these would you like to go to?
I don't know. You and you pay.
Oh, thank you so much.
Skipper.
All right, let's go to Jim in Windsor. Jim.
Yeah, I got a couple things to say on this. I'm a DFW member for classified operations during the 70s.
This right now is the congressman from the Shoreline East. He's Representative Rob Simmons, a Republican from the 2nd District here in Connecticut. Hi.
Hey, good afternoon. How are we doing?
Well, is it a good afternoon?
Friday the 13th.
Yeah, it's Friday the 13th. It's not a good afternoon, I would think.
Not a good day for Connecticut.
Now, you're probably privy to a little bit more of what the Department of Defense thinks when they're doing something like this. When in your deliberations with them or any kind of conversations you've had with them, have they given you an explanation as to why this base as opposed to any other?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
And, you know, the assumption is that people are thinking about this stuff. You know, this process up to this point has been kept secret from the Congress. They have not shared any information. We have made efforts, repeated efforts, to get information out of the Department of Defense and out of the Navy, and in every case we've been denied up until this point. So we have no idea what went into this decision, other than that we believe it's a terrible decision, and we are committed, Republicans, Democrats, governors, senators, representatives, retired Navy, the list goes on. We're committed to digging into the details of this decision, exposing why it's a bad decision, and turning it over.
Well, part of my understanding of why BRAC exists and why BRAC is the way that it is that it's supposed to, in fact, insulate this decision-making process from political pressure. Is that right?
Well, that's what it's supposed to do, but when you see... when you see New England get laid waste, when you see a little state like Connecticut take more hits than any other state in the country, and then you see dollars running south, you wonder about it sometimes.
When you do have an opportunity to talk to somebody in the decision-making process about this, what are you going to say? What's the best? I mean, obviously every state in the country that has a big military base thinks its military base is the most important one. What are you going to say that's going to move the pile a little bit on this?
Well, a couple of things have been said already. The chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, Duncan Hunter from California, who has bases in his district that are affected, has publicly stated today that the decision to close the submarine base in Groton, London, is a bad decision, that it's wrong. And, you know, this is the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee. This is not somebody from New England. This is not somebody who lives up in this area. However, this is a very experienced person who's been on the Armed Services Committee for over 20 years, who's a Vietnam veteran, who is a hands-on manager overseeing our nation's military, and he's put out a press release saying that he thinks this is a mistake. So, you know, clearly I think it's a mistake. Many others agree with me. And today is put it in perspective, today is the first day of a long process that's going to unfold over the next few months and end eventually in December. We have numerous opportunities to address this issue, to look into the data that was used to make this decision, to advocate before the Base Realignment and Closure Commission, to advocate to the White House. Up until now, the White House has not been involved in this process, we are told, to advocate among our colleagues. So today's a bad day. It's going to get better, and we're going to fight to overturn this terrible decision.
Well, let me talk to you again. In terms of the actual rationale, though, if you had an opportunity right now to sit down with Secretary Rumsfeld, what's the thing that you would tell him that makes those 18 nuclear submarines at Groton important?
Well, what we have messaged to the Secretary of the Navy, the Secretary of Defense, and others is that this is a submarine base that is a critical part of the industrial base, part of the synergy of the industrial base, which designs, develops, and produces the best submarines in the world. And, you know, for us to take submarines out of Groton is kind of like taking cars out of Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
It goes against the logic of having submarines co-located where you design and build them. And we do the best in the world. In part, we do it because we have the base located just up the river from Electric Boat.
So that's one argument anyway, that there's a real integration between the boat building, the sub school, the sub base, that there's sort of a multi-purpose development there that doesn't exist anywhere else.
It's part of our national security. You know, if we disassemble the industrial base, we lose our military power. And there's no question, there's no submarine base elsewhere in the United States of America that has had so much history and so much involvement in the subsurface Navy as the Groton or London base. This is where we designed, developed, and deployed the first nuclear submarine. This is where we did the NR-1, which is the most capable research submarine ever. This is where we do the Jimmy Carter. We call it after a president from Georgia, but we build it here. This cannot be allowed to stand. This is a wrong decision. 10 years ago, when the base was on the list, we went into the data, and we discovered in going into the data that they did not collect information accurately. They did not process it based on a complete model. And we objected, and we were heard, and the decision was overturned. And that's what we've got to do now.
Do you feel personally affronted by this at all? I mean, obviously, you made the sub-base a linchpin of your 2004 campaign. You mentioned Congressman Hunter from California. I know he came in and had a press conference and said you were Connecticut's best hope to keep the sub-base open. I mean, how do you feel personally about it, about the position this puts you in?
Well, it's like a lot of things. I'm a Vietnam veteran, and when those Viet Congs were shooting at me, I didn't take it personally. That was just the nature of the beast. I don't take this personally either. I don't have the feeling that somehow the Navy is out to get me. I think that what has happened here is that the process that was used to make the decision either was flawed, or the data that was included in the decision was flawed. And now it's incumbent upon us, myself, of course, but the governor, who is very involved in this process, Senators Dodd and Lieberman, who have played very significant roles in advocating for the base, the Southeastern Connecticut delegation, and others. It's incumbent upon all of us to continue to work together to bring rationality to the process and to overturn this decision.
Although your chief of staff, Todd Mitchell, he quoted in The Hill today as saying that opponents of Congressman Simmons would love to see the base shut down.
That may be, but, that's Washington. That's inside the Beltway. What I'm saying is that this submarine base has been here since 1868, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
It is part and parcel of what Connecticut's all about. Submarines are centered here in Connecticut, both for America and for the world. This is part of our history and our culture. We have multi-generations of families who have been involved either in the base, in the Navy, or in Electric Boat for generations after generations. And the synergy that this creates is an important national security asset.
Now, and
you don't want to destroy it.
Yeah. Let me just ask you one last quick question, Congressman. In terms of the actual mechanics of this from now on, now obviously this goes to BRAC, BRAC acts on it, then Congress... Is Congress's vote on this just an up or down vote, or can this be cherry? So it can't be cherry picked or modified or anything like that.
But now that it goes to the BRAC Commission, there will be hearings, and we can advocate and present at these hearings. The BRAC members have to visit the base if it's on the list for closure. And thank God we've got a Connecticut guy on the BRAC Commission. Then it goes to the president, who can accept it or send it back to the BRAC Commission. So we have a shot at the White House, and then finally it gets to the Congress, where it's an up-and-down vote. My guess is that we will be able to present to the BRAC Commission compelling reasons to take this base off the list. to take either all or part of the activities closed and put them and restore them. That's my bet. And that's what we're going to be working to do.
Listen, Congressman Simmons, thank you very much for your time and good luck with the sub base.
You bet.
Right, bye-bye.
So there.
There's also there are all kinds of conspiracy theories kicking around, including the idea that this, the whole thing is, you know, engineered so that eventually he'll jump in and save the day and this will be a Republican victory for Connecticut and stuff like that. I don't happen to believe that theory, but I've heard it from two different places, man. Biographical material up about him, and I don't know where in Connecticut he lives right now, but he's about, I think, a 34-year veteran of the Air Force, and he's retired, a retired general, one of the eight members of the commission, and I don't know if he's going to help us or not. I think there was in, I think, Florida and Virginia also, at least during his adult life.
Yeah.
Actually, Bobby, give me everything you've got on General Lloyd Warren Newton and pipe it over to my screen. I haven't said that for a while.
Yeah.
That's what I do when I'm presenting. I'm Jack Bauer.
Bobby's pretending to ignore you.
Yeah. Our numbers are 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, star WTIC. Coming up as the show goes along here.
With the board operator today.
Big boxing match of the weekend is Felix Trinidad versus Winky Wright. Can you imagine having to explain to people how you got your ass kicked by someone named Winky? It's time for our Sports on Fire, that are our French sports discussion segment. I like to turn on as well.
Who? What are you drinking during the break?
Oh, my Lord.
I understand the producer of your fine show deserves plaudits, because if I could play under par golf, I'd do that too. Maybe I should.
We have a question?
We do have a question.
Should we get to it?
Yes.
Because
we have lots of spots.
This is kind of a conspiracy-oriented thing. Dear Mr. Ambrosio, is it true that man never really walked on the moon? The picture of the American flag, the one put there by the Apollo astronauts waving in the wind, makes it seem like maybe they're actually not on the moon. Or is it some kind of optical illusion?
Who wrote this?
This is written by Teddy. He didn't want to give his last name.
Yeah, well, Teddy, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Because that was clearly Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin. Was it a Buzz Aldrin?
I think so.
Yeah, Buzz Aldrin.
That's how clear it was.
Well, you couldn't see through the mask.
I'm sorry.
Look, you shouldn't talk. You haven't even heard my mic on correctly for 2 days. No, it was clearly Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin. And that was, those charges were brought up by people from Canada and Mexico to try to demean the United States back in.
So why is the flag waving in the wind?
Because it's windy up there. Look at Wrigley Field. Why do you think the flag waves there, you nuts? The flag waves because it's windy on the moon. In fact, there's a shirtless weather boy to tell you. The wind on, see, by the rest of the shirt, man, by the way. The wind on the moon is stronger than at any point in the United States other than Mount Washington.
See, that's what people don't know, right?
Well, now they do. Windy.
Coming up in the next segment, we'll talk to you about Congressman John Larson, too, about the explosion. Just to throw a little change of pace here, I'm indebted, by the way, to the Nemo blog of the Houston Chronicle for this story.
I just mentioned to me like one of my theme songs.
That was one of your theme songs?
When I had my own radio station when I was like 14.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And what did you say? Would you kind of talk over that?
Yeah, sure.
What would you have said?
Come in and said, you know, just setting up the show as Dan was coming up, yeah, that kind of thing.
And what, you were just like a little show that you put on, how old were you?
14.
14 years
13,
old.
14. Yeah. Wasn't that basement? We had six kids build the thing.
Well, that's really cool.
Yeah. Well,
I can't even, what I have to offer doesn't even compare to that.
I figured it would, but I thought it was brilliant.
this is a bit of an interesting sort of defense of things, you know, that it didn't work for Tyler Hamilton, but maybe other people can. The Nemo blog, as I used in Chronicle,